So let's stand in honor of God's word. Daniel was one of those taken into captivity. And while he has been there, the Lord has blessed him in special ways. He has been elevated through the society there in captivity and is almost like what you could call the prime minister at the time that this is all happening. But he's been doing the math and he's figured out that it's almost time for God's people to go home again. But he knows that business isn't quite concluded yet with the Lord. And so this is his prayer. So Daniel 9, beginning of verse 3. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. To our Lord God, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. And dropping down to verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. And for your own sake, Lord, let your face shine upon your desolated sanctuary. Incline your ear, O my God, and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolation and the city that bears your name. We do not present our supplication before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act and do not delay. For your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people bear your name. Now that's how to pray. This is the word of the Lord in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Well, God's people felt disrupted in their life with God, not just individually, but collectively. And everything that happened when they were taken into captivity, it just blew all of their thoughts out of the water. They thought because they were the descendants of Abraham that they would be protected forever from all harm. And they thought that because the false prophets told them that over and over and over again. You know, it's hard to find the courage to preach the truth. Let me just tell you, I've been preaching for over 25 years now. That's a long time. I'm getting to be an old guy now. And the temptation so much is to tell people what they want to hear, right? It's a heavy word sometimes that comes. And so we call them false prophets looking back. They may have just been the chicken prophets, right? The ones that just couldn't find the courage to speak the truth. They may not all have been intending to be deceptive, but people are willful in what they want, amen? And they will come to you as a leader and they will tell you what you should be saying and what you should be doing all the time. So that's part of why Daniel is saying it's our fault. It's not any one person's fault. It's all of us together have created this mess. but it was worse than they ever could have imagined. And here they found themselves dragged from their country. Now, if you go to the University of Chicago, you can walk through the museum there, in the Oriental Museum, and you can see some of the artwork that they would have had to walk past when they were marched from captivity into the city of the Assyrians to begin with the Northern Kingdom. And it's amazing to see it, and the artwork that represents what it looked like at that time for newly conquered peoples to be paraded through the streets. It was utterly humiliating. And they were taken past these giant buildings and pieces of art and idols. And it was just put in their face that you have been defeated and your whole identity is going to be absorbed into our greatness. Now, the interesting thing about the Assyrians, they were so fierce, no one could stay in power for more than a few years. The king's brother would kill him and take over, and it was just a crazy, chaotic time. And then the Babylonians came, and they took the southern kingdom into captivity as well. Nebuchadnezzar, whew, just brutal in everything that he did, and so efficient in everything that he did. But there was something greater that was coming. The Persians were coming, and they were going to take over all of this, and God was going to use them to send God's people home. And so even those who had been proud and had their way were now going to be humbled, and some things were going to be set right from all that had gone wrong. And Daniel had been keeping track. He had been paying attention to the words of the prophet Jeremiah. Now we have the whole book for us to read, but somehow Daniel had a hold of these words from that great prophet. And he refers to it above. And what he's referring to is found in Jeremiah 25:12. Let's read this together. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation and the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord, and I will make it desolate forever. And then 29, verse 10 in Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. So Daniel, being a righteous man, has been watching this, right? He's been counting the days. I don't know if he had a little mark on his desk. He probably had to do it somewhat in secret, but he knew that this time was coming. And as the 70th year approached, he looked over the situation. And he knew that God wanted to be faithful, but he also knew, as he saw his people, that not everything was right. Do you hear what I'm saying? And some people, what got them into trouble to begin with was kind of a mechanical idea of God. Well, we descended from Abraham, therefore God gets us out of trouble. We've put in our 70 years here, therefore God's going to take care of us. But Daniel cared about the heart of his people. And he knew that if they did not change, that nothing was going to change. And so his thought was to cry out to God. He didn't just say, presto, time's up, take the cookies out of the oven, it's time to enjoy. No, he begins at the beginning. He goes all the way back. He acknowledges the sins of the people and their deep need of spiritual renewal. And I want you to remember what he said. He didn't say, they. He didn't say, Lord, I'm a good guy. I'm a righteous guy. I get it right all the time. And these people have messed up, but I'm going to ask you to forgive them. He didn't say that. He said, we have sinned. We have done these things. And, oh, Lord, you are great, and you are holy, and you are righteous. Page 20 of our book, it says the following about this passage. Daniel, one of the exiles taken into captivity, is really in a remarkable situation. He's risen to the status of prime minister and gained much respect and support of the king. Nevertheless, Daniel identifies himself with the brokenness of Israel. In humility, he cries out to the Lord for the restoration of Jerusalem, for God to intervene on behalf of God's people. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. Lord, listen, he prays. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. This is not condemnation of other people. This is not a stance of spiritual superiority. This is a humble embrace of the tragedy of corporate sinfulness that led to the destruction of the temple of God, the city of Jerusalem, and the cohesion of the people of God. And so Daniel saw right through it all. In verses 5 and 6, he gets so specific in his prayer. Let's read this together. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. So, he's acknowledging that he and his people have sinned, done wrong, been wicked. He's using these very specific terms. Rebelled, turned away, and not listened. Right? So, there's sinning. That's where you know what the law is, and you do what you want to do anyway. Right? And then there's done wrong. And that's where there may not be a specific law against it, at least not yet, because Jesus isn't on the scene taking things deeper. But just when you don't treat somebody right, that's done wrong, where you could have done better and you decided to do less. It says been wicked, and that's engaging in things that are utterly displeasing to God or other forms of worship. Just literally something that's very dark, going ahead and engaging it. It's sad to think that God's people get to this point, but they do. And then it's rebelling. That's where you just are stubborn and you just won't listen and you push back against it. And again, you're doing your own thing your own way and wanting God to bless it in the midst. Then there's turning away. And I think this probably has to do with, in the ancient world, so many other options, right? So many other ways of life available, so many other gods to worship. But turning away from the ways of God, turning away from the Lord God, I think that's where the word repentance comes in. And that's turning back, right? It's a turning of your mind and a changing of your mind. But in the way things are at this moment, they have turned away and not listened. Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever say, I can't hear you? Did you ever do that? As a parent, did you ever have a kid who did that? Yeah, not listening. It's such a frustrating thing when you've been given instructions. It has to be at least a little frustrating to God. And so Daniel just lays it all out there. Here's a showcase of ways, Lord, that we have absolutely blown it. We stand guilty before you. We don't deserve anything but punishment. And we are coming before you and coming clean and acknowledging it. Our calendars have been too full of other things. Our minds have been too preoccupied. We just can't even focus on the things of God for even a few minutes. Our bodies are pointing in the wrong direction. And all of this together had led to no good. And Daniel knew that a change was required to move into a new day. It's not just that 70 years pass. It's that the people of God go through a process of being made new again and being ready to move forward. And that process has to begin with admitting our sin. Amen? Let that sink in for a moment. Because we are just too cozy and casual with God. We think, well, Jesus died on the cross, so he'll forgive me, you know. And then we begin to just live carelessly and just pray a little prayer. Oh, God, forgive me for what I just did. And, oh, I can count on your forgiveness, so I'll press on. But if sin doesn't break our hearts like it broke Daniel's heart, he just can't go forward until he gets on his knees before God and pleads upon the mercy of God for forgiveness. He's not taking it lightly, even some of these things that happened years ago. This morning, we get disrupted by life, and life gets our attention. How do we respond to unexpected circumstances? Well, if your job changes, you need to adjust, and it can be a challenge, right? Now, when you're 22 years old and you go from working at Burger King to getting your first real job, something like that, well, most of the changes are pretty awesome, right? Because you no longer have to wear a polyester uniform, no longer have to stand in front of something 500 degrees with people screaming out to you to get food out the door in 30 seconds or less, right? And maybe now you go into a setting where you're using your abilities a little bit more. Even if you're out working in the fields, at least it's something where you've got a little more control over your moment to moment. But as you get older, you just don't tolerate these changes very much. And it's a challenge when you have to meet new people, right? We have to start over again. It's hard to find that energy and learning new skills and adjusting. And so it just can be frustrating. Sometimes it's not just a job. Sometimes it's changing responsibilities within a family. And sometimes it's a change of scenery because of unexpected adjustments in life. But either way, it brings stress. It's hard to face it. It's hard to cope. If you have to move from your home and into some other kind of facility, it's not easy to make that transition. And it's so hard to take those steps. Or think about the political situation that our country is in. The prospects of the coming election have many people on edge with what to expect. People are saying things like, well, I'm not going to vote for any of these people. And just seeing political ads on TV and constant news coverage about it, it can trigger feelings of uncertainty and frustration, especially if we think that politics is the answer to everything in the world. If we think that has to be a certain way for things to be right or go well, then there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and we won't be able to find stability in our lives. And then lately, there's this constant news of a scary new virus, and it's pervasive. It's everywhere you go. You turn on, you hear some new report of something that happened. And yet the information feels incomplete, right? This is the hardest thing about right now. Are we supposed to be really upset about this? Are we supposed to be playing it cool right now? Is the risk actually increasing by the hour? Or is it just that for most of us, we don't need to worry at all? These are uncertain times, and it's because those who are in charge are not 100% certain themselves. But they're doing the best that they can. This is just one of those things in life that's not easy to manage. And again, like our sin, like going into captivity, these are the kinds of things that get our attention to realize life is fragile. Amen? We are not guaranteed tomorrow for 1,000 reasons. And we must make the most of today and understand that our relationship to God is what matters in all of these times. Maybe in a couple weeks, this will all be over and in the rearview mirror. Would we just slip right back into normal then? Would we just say, well, whew, dodge that bullet. Guess I don't need to focus on God so much now. Or will we let changing times and the uncertainty in the culture around us remind us how deeply we need God every single moment of our lives? You have never drawn a breath that was not a gift from God. Amen? And so today, Are we growing weary of the fact of that we just have to worry about some of these things for a few days or weeks or month? And are we just upset with God and crying out for wish fulfillment? God, just make it go away. Just take it all away from me. Just put a stop to all these circumstances that make me have to be concerned. That's not really the kind of prayer God can answer, right? Because then you'll think that you're a 10-year-old with a magic wand, right? And you won't grow up into the realities of life. Folks, surely we know that we are not the victims in this world. Surely we understand how absolutely blessed we have all been. Amen? God has been so good to us. We can only give thanks. And surely we get how faithful God has been to us a million times over. And surely we know that our nation's struggle to govern itself is due to our own sinfulness and lack of focus and commitment to what we know to be most true. Even the plagues of the earth that come in every generation are a result of sin in the world. Don't have time to unpack all this, but if you go over and read Romans chapter 8, it says that the creation is groaning. The creation is longing for our redemption. Because the creation's like, finally, we'll get delivered too, right? The world and the universe are decaying and all these things are happening. But when Jesus makes all things new, even these things in the world can finally be made right. But right now, it's like you're standing in a rubber room and someone just fired a bullet. And it's bouncing around everywhere until Jesus sets all things right. So this morning, we could panic, which will not help any of us. We could be angry with God and say it's just not fair when many people are suffering every day of their lives in the world. Many people have to deal with diseases that have been completely eliminated from our concerns due to science and the benefits of other things that surround us. And if occasionally some of that suffering comes here and we too have to cope with it, hey, the rest of the world says, welcome to our lives, right? So this morning, let us not respond in panic or anger or frustration. But we can look at the whole situation and we can choose to respond like Daniel did. In verse 4, near the beginning of this passage, let's read this together what Daniel said to God. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed. Let's just stop right there for a second, right? And confessed, right? Daniel was a righteous man. He was perhaps one of the most righteous men in all the world. And yet, he confessed. That is instructive to us. Because all through this, he's confessing the need for God, even beyond just the confession of specific sins. Okay, and then let's continue reading. Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him, and keep his commandments. That was the beginning of his prayer, was a confession of the greatness of God. Amen? Can that come out of our lips today? Lord, you are the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, reminding himself, Daniel, of the commitments that he has made to God, but also celebrating the greatness of God in the midst of it all. You know, sometimes when things are looking dark and we just think it's the wheels are coming off of everything, it's just good to stop and remember that we're not God, but somebody else is. Amen? And he is great and he is awesome and he is working all things together for good for those that love him. But if we're using and abusing God to get our way or to lord it over others, then we can't expect blessings to be coming our way. God is great. God is awesome. The problem is not on his end. The problem is on this end. And so we come with humility. Daniel had come to know God's heart, no doubt, by means of worship and prayer and obedience over time. We may believe in God when we're very small. We may be filled with the Holy Spirit at some early point in our journey. But it takes walking with God, letting yourself down a few times and recovering from it through the forgiveness and restoration of God, continuing on in the journey to learn the heart of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And if our whole experience of God is, oh God, forgive me, I made a mess again, get me out of it. Okay, thanks God. Boom, back to making another mess. If that's our only experience with God, then we don't get it yet. Daniel had come to know the heart of God, come to know the responsibility we all share to try to make things right, and understanding the need to come before God in prayer and confess to Him. The faithfulness that God has shown His people throughout their time in captivity has emboldened him to believe again. But it's also demonstrated the contrast between God's faithfulness and their carelessness in the past. And he doesn't just throw others under the bus, like I said, or I guess in his case it would be under the chariot, right? Even though God empowered him to be a righteous man, he says we when he confesses, and this is what we learn with godly wisdom. Now, if you're here for Ash Wednesday service, you saw how deeply we need the grace of God. How powerful it is when we admit that one day we are going to die. Amen? Some people live in fear of that moment and just think, if I just keep taking medications and doing what the doctor says, I'll have pain-free immortality. Well, that's not going to happen unless Jesus comes back and gives you a new body in an instant. Your existing body is going to wear out, and you are going to die. But it can be okay, amen? It can be a life well lived, a race completed in God. Knowing that our life is completely in God's hands, we can trust Him and move even through that door with grace and with courage and with confidence. But we are confessing God's truth by His grace, so it prepares us to receive the grace that God wants to provide. In verses 17 through 19, now, this is a little bit long, but I want you to focus, and I want you to read this with me as well. Let this be the prayer of our hearts today. Now, therefore, O our God. Let's read it. I don't hear you reading. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplication. And for your own sake, Lord, let your face shine upon your desolated sanctuary. Incline your ear, O my God, and hear. Open your eyes and look at our desolation and the city that bears your name. We do not present our supplication before you on the ground of our righteousness, but on the ground of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act and do not delay. For your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people bear your name. It's okay. Moses did it. Daniel did it. Remind God of the stake that he has in this. Even the psalmist said, Lord, if I'm dead, I'm not going to be able to praise you, at least not till the resurrection. So give me breath, Lord, so I can continue to praise your name. Lord, you're invested in your people. This place and this people bears your name. So show your power and your grace. This is the kind of thing that I pray for this church on a regular basis. God is faithful. God restored his people. Eventually, they did return to the land. And some of Daniel's prophecies that he ended up speaking out about the Messiah, they lead us right up to the time of Jesus. God is so good and so faithful. and so right on time. Amen? But part of God's unfolding of grace began with Daniel on his knees, with Daniel confessing. And Daniel could have walked away. Daniel could have washed his hands of the whole messy situation. And who could have blamed him? He could have said, these people are so unfaithful, and here I am, I've laid it on the line, and I'm trying to make things better for my people here, and I'm trying to follow God, and they're just blowing it again and again and again. He could have just said, forget about it. But like Moses, he didn't do that. He said, Lord, no, these are your people. These are people who need to be forgiven. And I need to be forgiven. So God, please come and do what we don't deserve, but Lord, what we need you so desperately to do. Now that's the kind of prayer that God can answer. He was patient. Daniel was. He waited for his moment. And then he prayed on behalf of the people. And God used Daniel and used his prayer to help God's people turn a page toward restoration. So this morning, understand that God is restoring us if we are cooperating with what he's doing. Isn't it time for us to be able to see like Daniel did? To see the only way forward for our nation, for our world, for our church, for our own lives, is on our knees. Right at this fragile time in our world, we have a tremendous opportunity to begin on our knees, crying out to God, not just to deal with these circumstances that are worrisome, but to deal with the underlying sin, to restore people, to bring us back together again with a sense of community, with loving our neighbor as ourselves. Amen? God stands ready to do even more than we can ask for or imagine this morning. And he stands ready to restore our lives. No matter how this election turns out, regardless of how this virus spreads and whether it threatens and disrupts our lives, we have an advocate to the Father. Enter Jesus. Amen? Because he also prayed for us. 1 John 2:1 says, my dear children, and let's read this together. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Can I get an amen for that? Verse 2, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so John is signaling to us that us being right to God opens up possibilities for the whole world becoming right with God. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We can't just see it in terms of our own sin. We've got to see it in terms of we must repent. We must be restored fully in God. We must be walking in step with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit so that the whole world can be brought to faith and renewed in their lives, having hope to look forward to. And then Jesus literally prayed for us before he left the earth. In John 17, it records it. And he's praying to the Father. He says, but now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word. So, folks, we should be using the word. Amen? We should be reading it. And the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. But I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. Yeah, I added the word but there, sorry. But I ask you to protect them from the evil one. We want to be lifted out of our circumstances. But Jesus said, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to deliver them and to protect them while they're in the world. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And I ask not only on behalf of these. I love how Jesus is seeing all the way out. But also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. Do you see? That's the whole thing. That's God's only plan, but it's a powerful and beautiful plan when we begin on our knees. And so it goes on into Daniel's prayer. We're going to have a song in a moment here. An answer to Daniel's prayer and an answer to Jesus' prayer and the prayers of confession and repentance and commitment of God's continuing people in the world. May we be a faithful generation. Amen. May we also cry out to God. May we remember God's faithfulness and see our land and our churches restored. This morning, God has done his part, and his offer remains. Will we come to our knees and ask him to keep his promises one more time? I really, really hope so. Let's bow our heads. Father, every circumstance around us has stripped all the veneer away, and we stand before you vulnerable. We stand before you in great need. In this important hour in the life of our nation and the world as we know it in this generation, we come before you humbly this morning, and we look within. And we realize that everything doesn't look like Jesus. Everything doesn't look like the kingdom of God going forward in love and light. We realize, Lord, that we have been too interested in our own thing and our own convenience. And we've expected you and a few others to take care of everything else for us. But Lord, we are not kings. You are the King of Kings. Lord, we are not those who are just to be commanding. We are those who have been commanded to walk in faithfulness. So, Lord, we admit before you this morning that we have not done your will your way, and we stand in need of your forgiveness and your grace. But we also claim the grace that Jesus has offered us, and we come before our advocate who pleads on our behalf before the throne of heaven. And Lord, we ask that you'll forgive us, just like Daniel said, not on the basis of our own righteousness, but on the basis of your mercy, expressed on the cross in Jesus Christ, but alive and well in this day and this hour and this moment. And we ask, Lord, that you will forgive us. You've said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. But we always forget that next part. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Lord, cleanse us, change us, renew us, fill us with love. And Father, bind us together in your love that we might be the answer to Jesus' prayer. Sanctify us through your word, through prayer, through our response to you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we might be sanctified in truth, not just in word. And Lord, that it would not be for our own sakes, but that it also would be for those who will believe in Jesus through our word. And Lord, we give thanks. In this moment, we lift up those who are suffering. We lift up those who are struggling and hurting. We lift up those who need to know you and who don't. Lord, the time may be short for one reason or another, so let us redeem the time and count the days just like Daniel did to realize what time it is and on our knees to be pulled forward into the wonderful future that you have for us all. Reassure us deeply in this moment of your forgiveness and your love and your care. Let us not lose the humility of this moment, and let us shine brightly for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song called Revelation Song. It looks forward to the worship of Jesus, really, that goes on even now, but that we will get to fully participate in one day. So let's sing this song together.